Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
There is the mystery of hypocrisy. There is the mystery of injustice, Solomon says. And also, he goes on, he says, there's a mystery of pleasure. You see, he doesn't leave anything out. Isn't he pretty a thoroughgoing thinker? I mean, Solomon just keeps sweeping us up in all these mysteries and all these enigmas and all of these deep, deep questions that we don't like to face. There are mysteries everywhere. Look up, look down, look within. Mystery, 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 riddles, enigmas, all a part of life.
The truth is, God can make sense of your life even when you can't. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, "When Life is Unpredictable," and shows you how you can trust God even when your life is full of mystery. Stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in his promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the winning walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, When Life is Unpredictable.
Sir Winston Churchill was a master of the English language. If you've not read his History of the Second World War, I encourage you to do so. It'll help us to understand, you and I, Western civilization in a way that you will never have through any other vehicle, in my opinion. He was a master of the written word. He was a magnificent orator. He understood so many cultures, so many nations, but he never could understand Russia. He really couldn't. He understood Nazi Germany. He understood Mussolini and Italy. He understood the United States. Remember, his mother was an American. And he could look at all around the world and have great insight as to what was going on, the thinking of the people. But he said, I don't get the Russians. He said, the Russians and what they do, as far as Winston Churchill was concerned, was a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. That's pretty complex, isn't it? Now, we could have helped Churchill understand Russia because Russia was a thoroughgoing atheistic nation. And therefore, so many times we do not understand what people do and how they think or how they vote or how they live. We have to understand if they are looking at life simply under the sun from a humanistic viewpoint, they can't think rationally. They can't think logically, they are blinded. And therefore, Churchill somehow missed this fact about the USSR. And he kept saying, you know, they're a riddle wrapped up in a mystery encased in enigma. And as we have studied Ecclesiastes, we could say, you know, as I read the book, that's sort of where I come down. Because there's a lot of mysteries in our study And there's a lot of mystery all around us. Look up. Look all the way into the starry heavens. I picked up one of Hugh Ross's books this week. And I'll tell you, you don't have to go far until you realize this brilliant astrophysicist is taking us into areas where we need a dictionary close by and somebody help us understand what he's saying about the solar system, about the cosmos. Above us, there's mystery. They measure distances by the speed of light. Think about that. And they measure it in thousands of years. So above us, there's a mystery of size and distance. And what about when we look not only through a telescope, we see that, but look at a microscope. Look at all these little things that are everywhere. My hand under a microscope, you say, look at all of that. My goodness, have you washed your hands in a month? You see, there's a mystery close to us that's small. We would say teensy when we were children. That's very, very small and very close. Whereas the mystery here is very large and far apart. There are mysteries everywhere. Look up, look down, look within. Mystery, mystery, mystery. Riddles, enigmas, all a part of life. Did you know if all the electrons in a human body became the size of an apple, and the body would be increased in size proportionately, that person could take the whole solar system and hold it in the palm of their hand, and it would take a magnifying glass to see it. Hello? Astounding mystery up there, in here, around there, surrounded by mysteries. They're everywhere you look. Some of them are very simple and very plain. I can sit at my desk, write something on a card, put the card to one side, answer the phone, see somebody, pick up a book, shuffle some more papers, answer some letters, get on my cell phone, and I can look for that card I put down just a few minutes ago, and it's gone. Shazam! Where'd he go? I said, what in the world? It's a mystery to me. A few months ago, I'd lost my cell phone for the 5,000th time. And I looked everywhere for it. I said, look, I'm going to call somebody, and it was in my hand. Please don't tell anybody that. Keep that in the family. It was a great mystery to me. Did you hear about the mystery of the man who bought a brand new car and wrote the dealership and said, I've got a problem with my car. My car is allergic to vanilla ice cream. They said, get serious. And he explained. He said, every day coming home from work, I stop by this little ice cream shop and I buy ice cream for my family. He said, when I buy vanilla ice cream, I go back to my car, it won't start. He said, if I buy chocolate or strawberry or some other kind, he said, I go back, my car always starts. He said, it works every day. And the dealership was intrigued. And so they sent a mechanic and said, one of my mechanics is going to ride with you to see what in the world. And so the mechanic did. Sure enough, they brought vanilla ice cream, went back, the car wouldn't start. It took some time. They bought another kind of ice cream the next day, the car started. And they said, what in the world? A car allergic to vanilla ice cream? And then some mechanic figured it out. He said, it's a vapor lock. You see, when you went in the shop, a lot of people bought vanilla so that you could go in quickly and come back out. And the car was still hot. There was a vapor lock. It wouldn't start. But when you bought another ice cream, it took some while to get it all together. That came time for the car to cool down. There was no vapor lock. It would start back up. So the mystery was solved. But there are a lot of mysteries in life, is it not? A lot of questions we ask, a lot of enigmas, a lot of riddles, a lot of deep things. The Bible is full of mysteries. Why do we think that, well, God's word needs to be clear and plain and simple? Oh, well, we don't like all these mysteries, but mysteries are all the way through this book. Mark chapter 1, there's the mystery of the kingdom of God. Romans chapter number 11, there's the mystery of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's the mystery of the resurrection. Look at the little book of Ephesians, it's just full of mystery. Ephesians chapter 1, the mystery of the will of God. Ephesians chapter 3, it goes on with the mystery of the church. Ephesians chapter 5, there's a mystery of marriage. Ephesians chapter 6, there's a mystery of the gospel. You read in 2 Timothy, there's a mystery of godliness. All the way through the Bible, you have mystery after mystery after mystery. And certainly as we study the book of Ecclesiastes, I've said in all probability, it's the autobiography of Solomon. But as I have studied it, I'm almost changing that. I think it's almost like his memoirs. It's almost like his daily quiet time book. Because here is a brilliant philosopher, theologian, who's sharing a wide view of life. And he sees all the mysteries that are there. And he causes us to confront things and to ask questions about things that we perhaps would never do in any other book of the Bible. Remember, it's the first book we should read because it asks the big questions that the rest of God's Word answers. And so we come all the way here to the middle of the 8th chapter. And once again, we are encountering a riddle wrapped up in a mystery put inside an enigma. He starts off and his thesis is very simple. Life is crammed full of mystery. Does anybody want to debate that? And then he just recites the mysteries here. He says, so then I have seen, this is 8 verse 10, so then I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out from the holy place, and they soon are forgotten, and the city where they did this, that too is futility, that too is silly, that too is a mystery. What's he saying? There's the mystery of hypocrisy. By the way, somebody a few months ago says, you know, I don't go to church for there's so many hypocrites up there. I said, well, come on and join us. You'll fit right in. There's the mystery of hypocrisy that we see here. What's he saying? Here's somebody who's very wicked, who goes in and out of the holy place. And they may have an extravagant burial, and they've gone in and out of the holy place, but they are godless in their life. I talk about John Gotti. Remember him, the dapper Don, the mafioso, the vicious head of the mafia there for in New York City and perhaps other places. I thought about his funeral. Do you remember how elaborate his funeral was? By the way, you see there these pictures. That's the caravan of literally 130 cars who were part of the Gambino family. And then they had 30 more of his captains following. They had an extravagant funeral with hundreds and hundreds of people there honoring him, all the Christian symbolism you could buy at that time. And he was buried in Queens in a cemetery that's called God's Holy Acre. Do you see this verse? The mystery of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is everywhere, Solomon is saying. And then he talks about the next mystery in this whole list of them that he gives us here. He says, but it will not be well for the evil man, for he will not lengthen his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. And he says, there is a futility which is done on earth. That is, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. On the other hand, there are evil men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I say this too is a mystery, is futility. He's talking about here the mystery of injustice. The mystery, we got plenty of hypocrisy. We've got plenty of injustice. There's a mystery about it. You were born, let us say, in the fourth ward. Your mother had several sexually transmitted diseases. She was addicted to crack cocaine. She was a third generation recipient of welfare, never held a job in her life, had no idea really who your father happened to be. She dropped out of the fourth grade, could sign her name, could really not read. She had several other siblings, and you're born into that family. You get to be 21 years old. You look back on your life. Do you think there's any injustice there? Do you find any injustice? That's what Solomon's talking about. Here's someone who is wicked and their reward is if they're good. Here's somebody who's good, their reward is if they're wicked. Here is somebody who is innocent as a child, and they're brought up in a situation that is virtually impossible to come out of. Do you see any injustice there? Here's a fine Christian family. They're in an SUV, and they're going on a family outing. They're on the interstate. Mother, father, four children, having a big time, but a drunk who lives in Tanglewood has a lot of money, but he's drunk and he crosses over the line and he meets this family head on, and they're all killed, the children and the mother except the father, and he is permanently disabled. Do you see any injustice there? There is the mystery of hypocrisy. There is the mystery of injustice, Solomon says. And also, he goes on, he says, there's a mystery of pleasure. You see, he doesn't leave anything out. Isn't he pretty a thoroughgoing thinker? I mean, Solomon just keeps sweeping us up in all these mysteries and all these enigmas and all of these deep, deep questions that we don't like to face. And here's the mystery of pleasure. He says, look at verse 15, so I commended pleasure. For there is nothing good for a man to do under the sun except to eat, to drink, be merry. This will stand by him in the toils throughout the days of his life, which God has given under the sun. Lord, he says, hey, go ahead and have a good time. But there's a problem with pleasure, because you engage in pleasure, 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 pleasure. Suddenly you become jaded, and pleasure no longer is pleasure. A permanent vacation leads to a life that really does not have meaning, purpose, or significance. And so there is the mystery of pleasure. It doesn't satisfy. Then he talked about the mystery of theology. Theology is everywhere. Verse 16, he said, when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one that should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that men and women cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun, even though mankind should seriously consider it, he will not discover. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. You know what he's saying? He's saying through natural revelation, just what you get under the sun in nature, you're not going to discover God. Look like the old boy who said, you know, when I play golf every Sunday morning, I'm closer to the Lord than when I go to church. Well, the problem with that, in nature, makes no requirements. And so he says, I have sought everything about theology. You can't find out much about God from natural revelation. You see that God is capricious. You see that might makes right. You see the survival of the fittest. That's what you get in natural revelation. And he's saying, I have looked theologically for God and all of this. And he said, some people say they found him, but he's saying he's not there. You can't really find his true nature and character. So there's a mystery of theology. And then he talks about the mystery of death. He keeps bringing up death, doesn't he? I wish he'd leave that behind, but there's a mystery in it. And look what he says, verse 2 of chapter 9. It is all the same. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, for the unclean, the man who offered sacrifice and the one who does not sacrifice. As a good man is, so is the sinner, so is the swearer, so is the one who's afraid to swear. He's saying, we're all going to die and it's all going to be the same. There's a mystery about that. There's a total mystery in death. And so he's gone through all these mysteries. There's a mystery in hypocrisy. There's plenty of that. There's a mystery in death. Boy, there's a 100% recommendation, 100% chance of that. He said there's a mystery in looking for God under the sun. He said there's a mystery, 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 mystery. He's talking about a riddle. He's talking about an enigma. And finally comes the conclusion. And he says, look, in light of all these mysteries that are unscrutable, you can't unwrap them. You can't find any meaningful life, any significance. He said, you know what? Out of all the choices, let the good times roll. Let's party, party, party. Let's just let it all hang out. And then that's the next verses. He said, cram your life full of pleasure. Verse 7, he says, go then, eat your bread in happiness. Drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God already approves your works. Let your clothes be white all the time. Lord, dress up as fancy as you can. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Man, make up all you can. Look as good as you can. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Didn't he mention this a chapter or two before? Here's a man with 1,000 women. He said, just pick out one. Spend your life with that one. Man, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Remember, Solomon talks about life and love and marriage. You better listen to him. He's had a lot of experience there. He says, pick out that gal, gentleman, and love her with all you've got for the rest of your life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. One of the things most people want to know about the rich and the famous is their net worth. How much is a person worth? A county in Virginia still has the notes of a man who owned a young slave. The name of the slave was Booker T. Washington. By his name is written, worth $200. Think about that. The value of a slave child who would grow up to become one of America's greatest inventors and educators was valued at, you know, $200. A person's worth cannot be assigned a dollar amount. Our worth is never based on what we have, but on what we are, specifically what we are to God. You and I are creatures of infinite worth to the Almighty, and He paid a great price for us. It cost God the life of His Son to give us a net worth of eternal value.
We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-won wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shines a light on more of life's unpredictable mysteries.